You know, this past weekend's weather, I can't help but think that it had an impact on your attendance for the Lights Fantastic Parade because it looked better than the last couple of years.
Oh, I tell you, it was a gift. It just couldn't have been a better early December evening for that. And people I've talked to think we've had the biggest crowd ever. We had the most number of entries in the parade we've ever had, which that number escapes me. But I think we had about 15 to 17 additional entries. And, of course, I rode in the parade with the acting president of SIU and some of our other good folks from SIU on SIU Tram. And people were just happy and waving back, and I just love watching little kids out there. So it was a great evening. Couldn't have been better.
Yeah. Hey, you know, while you're on the subject of SIU, it's interesting that J. Kevin Dorsey, SIU system president, you know, talked with the students apparently last week and saying we've got to shrink the footprint of the university. He talked about the total SIU enrollment will likely be down again next year. But, you know, there's no reason to despair when the headcount is down next year, was his quote. Focus on how many new students we're getting and what we're doing to be more efficient and effective. But, you know, I mean, he's already managing the expectations with the students, but there's another group you've got to manage the expectations to, and that's the business community.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been saying the same thing. I've had we're staying closely in touch with SIU on enrollment numbers, and, you know, it's the same thing that happened to us last fall. The last senior graduating class was our biggest class on campus, and the freshman class, of course, was even or down a little bit. I think it was down a little bit. And that exact same phenomenon is going to happen this year. Our largest class is seniors, and they'll graduate. We're going to have freshman enrollments going to be up, at least some, and it's going to take us, two, 3 years to get out of here and figure out what our footprint is going to be.
And see, what's interesting is this use of the term footprint. Because very often you see that used in the context of climate and carbon and environmental concerns. But what we're talking about is I think, a lot different here when we use this euphemism when it comes to SIU. What I hear is a smaller university.
I think that's what they're trying to indicate, that they're going to have to tighten their belt, just like a lot of businesses do in economies like this. So, I think that's a smart way to approach it, and that's what they're gearing for. They're going to figure out, you know, what is their place in the state of Illinois university systems, and we're still going to be a great university. It's just, where is that magic number of enrollment, and what are we going to concentrate our best efforts on? Their recruitment is just really rolling along. I've never, ever seen anything like it. I'll be speaking to over 400 prospective students from the School of Business today before the ball game. And they're just bringing so many students and their parents, prospective students and their parents, to campus. There's something going on every day. And I've been at probably a dozen of their events now and welcome parents and students to Carbondale and say, take a look around, see what we have. And then they get a tour of Carbondale and the campus, and like the School of Business students, they'll get out into the School of Business and see what's going on and see what state-of-the-art business looks like now.
Right. So. And, you know, the prospect of additional funding, you know, now that we've got, we'll call it throughput because we're a broke state, but there's still throughput of money the way I think about it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that even if SIU sees a bump, they still have to pay back money that they owe within the system. I was kind of thinking that maybe, you know, after beating SIUE this past week, they'd say, don't worry, you don't have to pay the $20 million back. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no trophy either. I don't know what you mean.
Need a trophy. But, I mean, we still even we say, oh, great, more funding. That doesn't, because we're not done with the problems, because they do have to pay back the system $20 million in advances, if we'll call it, from the funds there. There has to be a payback.
Yeah, that's my understanding at this point. You know, a couple of the Board of Trustees that I have had a chance to talk with over the last couple of weeks seem upbeat. They're not being very forthcoming on what their plan is, but they seem to feel like, not seem to, they do feel like that we're going to be okay. So
I
think we should look at that. You know, I wouldn't go out and build a 10-story office building based on it, but Carbondale's going to be okay, and SIU's going to be okay. We're going to look, particular university's going to look a little different than we used to as far as enrollment.
Is Brightfields over as far as Carbondale is concerned?
I think it is for now. The Brightfields folks are still interested, but obviously the decision makers in the neighborhood up next to Brightfields and the people that we respect from there came out and said they didn't want it, and the council voted unanimously not to do that. And Brightfields, we had $1.5 million on the table, which we had a third of that in the beginning of this process, and and it was going to all go into programs in the neighborhood, whatever the neighborhood decided they wanted to do with it was my vision for it. And, they just said they didn't want to be bought off, and they're staying in their ground, and that's okay. We have another solar array being proposed right now up on North New Era Road near the airport, and it's going to sail right through. Solar arrays don't compete with each other like stores might, but and this company that was doing Brightfields that we dealt with specializes in brown sites, which are these sites that are polluted and you can't dig in the ground for and that kind of thing, where it's been remediated. But the folks in the neighborhood just don't accept the soil analysis. They don't trust the federal government, state government, or city or university testing. So it's not something that we have to have. The city wasn't really going to get very little, if anything, out of it. So we'll move on if that's what they want us to do.
Well, you've got Brightfields, which, moving on in many contexts, you could say, well, this call and claim center is moving on in one variety. Got a chance to talk to Steve Mitchell yesterday. It was a great conversation talking about how much, calls and claim employees make and, that they're basically already have a beachhead on the campus of SIU, and this company will be moving into the University Mall. But, we're talking about the number of jobs uncertain, as high as 400, but right. You have to grow that and find those people. But, this is the kind of good news that you can hang your hat on.
Absolutely. And Steve in particular has worked really hard on this for over a year, and with all the back and forth with him, and the mall's been really interested in it. Debbie Tindall's did a fantastic job in accommodating the needs of these developers coming in. So 400 jobs is great, if it's 200 or 100 to start with, it's great. And they will grow it. They have the space to do it. They're building it out for that 400-plus jobs. So it's great for us. More people in Carbondale for sure during the daytime.
Right. And then hopefully they have lunch and they buy gas and on the list goes,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Then the money that pays these employees doesn't come from inside the community or taxpayer. Well, I guess it does, Medicaid, Medicare. At least some cases, that's a special dollar, as we were talking last time you and I spoke. What's the future of the Varsity Theater? Have you been able to define that yet, or really that's the essence of the question? What is the future for the Varsity Theater?
I've had three or four conversations in the last 2 weeks here. Most recent one was yesterday that ran about an hour long with an individual that's been involved with that. He's a lifelong resident of Carbondale, and the stage company is something that's familiar to everybody here in Carbondale for sure. The put down theatrical acts for years, decades, and kind of a convoluted thing. But anyway, that Varsity Theater and the stage company, the Varsity Theater Group, are all wrapped up together. And the entire project is losing money, and they're losing money at the rate of $10,000 and $20,000 a month. And they've just done a stellar job in bringing that theater back to life, and it's just a little gem in the downtown there. Not even a little gem; it's a big gem in the downtown.
Right.
And but they have to start turning a profit, and so the Varsity Theater Group has talked with the Carbondale Theater Group and the stage company, and said, we need, some rent money paid. We need more than we're getting from you, and so on and so forth. And They're negotiating now, and it kind of seemed to me like they're going to be able to come up with something. The real key to their success is they need $300,000+ to the great big theater, the largest theater that people think of in there, is needs heating and air conditioning and needs some more work to really make it serviceable. And they have done some events there, but and that's, like I said, it's going to be a $300,000 to $350,000 project, and they're going to have to do fundraising. If they can get that money and get that thing up and operating, and it'll turn a profit. And if all the good folks at Carbondale help this and realize what it is, I mean, Terry and I go there, you know, once every month for some kind of event, it seems like, and it'll work. So I have high hopes for it working out. Just have to get down the road a little further.
Mike, as your term of mayor, you have the most diverse community in Southern Illinois. I don't think anybody would argue with that.
No question, and of course
that's a result of SIU. Right? Granted, we've seen the last election polls where there's a red state with a blue county right there in the middle of it, right down in Southern Illinois. And then you've got the religious diversity, you've got the cultural diversity, you've got the financial diversity. What have you learned when it comes to being a mayor of a town as diverse as Carbondale, when it comes to patience and negotiating? And I kind of heard that a little bit in varsity, that you kind of look at all these perspectives. Is there a secret to this? Or do you have a kind of personal rules that you live by when it comes to managing as communities is so broadly diverse as Carbondale?
Well, I haven't really thought about it too much. But, you know, really, I've always thought of myself as a pretty good listener. And that's what I just conveyed. I just sat there and listened to them yesterday. And so I let people talk and kind of figure out where they're coming from. And it seems to me there is almost always a common ground. And in something like this, there is a common ground. I mean, something that's just a difference of opinion, a different approach to solving a problem. There's a common ground somewhere, and I don't have the magic answer for those things. But as these people talk, and what happens very often, I end up talking to both sides and then try to get them together. And then me and whoever else is working on this, we just stand back and kind of facilitate a little and keep the conversation calm. And things come out very well. There's lots and lots of good folks. Both sides of this varsity issue are very well attended, stage company and the varsity center. So I think they'll get there, but they want to get their opinions out there, and I think we're at the point they've done that. So, but that happens all the time here, on significant things and other things not quite so significant.
Right.
Well, people just have to sit down and talk.
So you're kind of an umpire.
Well, a little bit, except I can't, I can't really enforce rules on them.
Right.
But if you just listen, I've always been a good listener. My parents were that way. They taught me that way. And, you'll hear something, you know, through this where there's a little pathway, and sometimes you can light that up. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah. Well, my mom had a similar incident. She would say, you know, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid as opposed to opening your mouth and removing all doubt. So, thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Right? You know, this is the last scheduled interview that you and I have before the end of the year, unless something comes up where we need to speak. So talk to me quickly, Mayor Mike Henry, when it comes to 2019, your expectations in a state with a change in the legislature, a university that's looking at funding in the new coming year, the new jobs that are coming. What's your expectation for 2019 in the city of Carbondale?
You know, I'm going to be optimistic. I think we have one party pretty much in control of the state of Illinois now. So some of this, our biggest problem has been this partisanship, where it just seems like we can't, neither party can compromise very much. And I think that's going to happen now. You know, Governor Pritzker's has been down here in the campaign a couple of times, not as much as I would like to have seen him, but he was here, and he's scheduled down here soon again. So
He told me he was – I spoke to him this morning. He said he was coming down next week.
Yeah, it's next week. I think it's on Wednesday. But anyway, he's a good man, too. Governor Rauner, you know, had a good heart. Both of them do. They're going to take different approaches. But there's a lot of responsibility now in the Democratic Party to really come in and get something done. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult. The state's reaching the point that they can't borrow any more money from somebody. And they're going to have to get together. And to JB's credit, he has some of our more influential Republican leaders in the state are on his transition committees. And there's a bunch of those committees. Might only be one or two, but they're on there. So that's a good indication. And we just have to cross our fingers and hope for the better than what we've been getting.